John's Gospel, chapter 14. And I want to draw your attention this morning to verses 23 through to 26. It's quite a large chunk, our text this morning. So we read the text. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." I want to consider these words this morning under the title, Christ's Word. Christ's Word. Because that's the central theme. If a man love me, he will keep my words. My words, he says. And then he says in verse 24, He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And it's the same word. Keepeth not my words. My words. And then verse 24 again, The word which ye hear. And then verse 25, "These things have I spoken. I've spoken unto you." And then verse 26 at the end, "He bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said." Whatever I've said unto you. And so you can see here that among other themes present in the text, certainly there is a centrality of the words of Christ. My words. And I have 9 subtitles this morning. So we'll not spend long at either one. And if we don't get through them, that's fine. As far as the Lord allows us. But there are 9 things that I want to say. I want to say, first of all, Christ's word is a declared word. It's a declared word. It has come out of his mouth. He has declared it from his own lips. My words, he says. He says, my sayings. He says, the thing that I've spoken. All things that I've said to you. So he's talking about the words that have come out of his mouth. He says there in verse 24, "The word which ye hear," you've heard it, I've spoken it, they're my sayings, they're the words that have come out of my mouth. We're talking about his declared word today. His declared word. He says there, "The things that I have spoken, present with you, when I was present with you." And so he's talking about his words that he gave. And not just these farewell words either. I know we've been studying the farewell words week by week. But he's not just talking now about his farewell words. He's talking about all his words, his sayings, the things that he spoke when he was present with his disciples, the things that he said to his apostles whenever they became his disciples and he became their master. He gave them all the words. He was a teacher. And what is a teacher? A teacher gives words. That's what a teacher does. Gives words. And that's what he did every day. He spoke to them and he taught them. Every day he just gave them words. And even this last evening, I know he gave them the supper. And I know he washed their feet. But what does he mainly give them? Words. Words. An architect, what does he leave behind him? buildings. A physician, what does a physician leave behind him? Cures and helps and medicines. But what does a teacher leave behind? Words. Nothing but words. And that's what Jesus leaves behind him. Words. So they're declared words. And he spent years declaring them. And not one of them falls to the ground. His declared word. And then Christ's words are not only declared words, they're dear words. They're dear words. He says there in verse 23, he says, if a man love me, if he loves me, he'll keep my words. If he loves me, he'll love my words. He'll keep my words. And so the words of Christ, if we love Christ, we'll love his words. They're precious, they're dear, they're valuable. And you know, as Christians, there should be nothing that should be more important to us than Christ's words. He's going away in this context. And when a person goes away, all that you have left, which you hold dear, are their words. Aren't their words dear? Especially their last words. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the last night. And what's he telling them about? His words. And he's giving them words so that they'll be held dear. His going away words. His farewell words. His last words. We should love them. They should be the most valuable thing of all that we possess. He's gone away. He's gone to the Father's right hand, but he's left us his dear words, his dear words. And we've been studying them because they're dear. The dearest person of all to us Christians is Jesus Christ. And therefore the dearest words of all should be the words of the Lord Jesus. It's like when a dear loved one has died and you have their letters that you received maybe over the years. You have their letters and you have their words left. You take them out and you read them and all the affections are there and all the memories come back and all the emotions. They're so precious. Those last valuable letters and words of your dear loved one are just so precious. Jesus' words are precious. Oh, they're so dear. We should love his words then. We should be like Paul. Whenever he told us, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. They're dear words. We should be like Mary, sitting at his feet, hearing his words. So they're dear words. But not only is it a declared word and a dear word, but it is a divine word. His words are divine. The words that come out of his mouth that he has declared unto us and that are dear to us, they're not like the words of a mere man. They're not like the words of anybody else. They're divine. He says here, the word which ye hear is not mine, but it's the Father's which has sent me. He that have seen me have seen the Father. And the word that I speak, it's the Father's word. It's the words of God. I'm speaking to you God's words, Jesus could say. And he's very conscious of that. He was very conscious of that all his day. Every time he opened his mouth, he was conscious of that. He spake as the Son of God. You remember how one time he said to them, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they didn't think very much of them. They trampled them into the gutter. And they laughed at them. And they certainly disobeyed them and didn't believe them. But the Lord Jesus said, the words that I speak, are not like your words. They're not like other men's words. The words that I speak are spirit. The words that I speak are life. They're life-giving.
They're spiritual words. They're from heaven. They're the Father's. They're the Father. They're divine words. Remember how he said, and this is a bold statement, a really bold statement, but Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. They're the words of God. They'll not pass away. The fabric of the world will be removed. Everything will be removed. Everything will be changed. But Jesus says, my words will not. Who could say that? You remember how he said, he that rejecteth me and who doesn't receive my words, the man who doesn't receive my words, he says, the word that I've spoken, the same will judge him. The words that I speak will judge you. The words that I speak will go into eternity. And when you stand before the court of a holy God, my words will be there to judge you. You'll be judged by that standard. They're divine words. They're just words. They're righteous words. They're all that God is, holy and unshakable. And they're the words of the Father. They're my words, my sayings, but he also says it's the Father's which sent me. And it's the Holy Ghost as well, because he says, when I go, I'll send you the Holy Ghost. And whatever I've said to you, the words that I've said to you, he'll teach you all those things. And he'll bring them all to your remembrance. Everything centers around the words of Christ. They're from his lips, and the Father sent them, and the Holy Spirit will come down to expound them and explain them and bring them to our remembrance. Everything has to do with the word of Christ. It's a divine word, and these words that we've been studying are the words of God incarnate. And they can change us. And they should change us. And they better change us, because they'll judge us. They'll bring us life, or they'll bring us death. They'll bring us to heaven, or they'll bring us to hell. But they're the words of Christ, and they're divine. He whom God hath sent, John the Baptist said, he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. He speaks the words of God. He that is of God hears God's words. He therefore, ye don't hear me, he says. You don't hear me, he says. Because you're not of God. So they're divine words. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. And so the Holy Spirit and the Father and Christ, the words of God. A declared word, a dear word, divine word. It's also a demanding word. It's a demanding word. Twice in the text we're told it should be kept. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And then in verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my words. They're words that have to be kept. They're words that must be kept. And the Lord Jesus is interested in them being kept. It's not enough that you just hear them. It's not enough that you just memorize them. You have to keep them. Christ's words can't be cast aside. You can't cast them aside. It can't be ignored. It can't be neglected. It must be kept. And he that loves me keeps them. And he who doesn't, well, he doesn't. He just doesn't. It must be kept by being stored up and preserved and laid aside. You keep something, it's like something valuable. The family heirloom, something that's been passed on, that's dear, and you don't give it away.
You don't sell it. No matter how badly down you are, you keep it. Christ's words are so dear, they're to be kept. You never give them up. You don't cast them aside. You don't say, oh, the world's making me poor. I'll have to give up Christ's word so I can be rich in the world's eyes. No, you can't. You're to keep them. Let everything else go. Let the world go. Let popularity go. Let your good name go. What does it all matter? Don't let his words go. Don't let his words go. You have to keep them. It's a demanding word. We'll have to collect every word of Jesus. Lay up every word and let it dwell richly in us. And so, the nature of the very word of Christ demands that. But not only must it be kept by love and affection, and it obviously has to be kept by obedience, not just kept in the memory and in the faculty of the mind, but it has to be kept in the heart. And it has to touch the faculty of the will and the affections. And it has to be kept to do it. I want to do it because that's what the Lord wants. That's what his words want me to do. That's what his words say. And as if in my heart it'll comfort me no matter what. I will hang on to it and will obey it and will believe it. And the words aren't kept unless they're obeyed and followed. They have to be obeyed and followed. If you love me, keep my commandments. He says there in verse 15. This is the theme that the Lord will go back to time and time again throughout these chapters. He says it again and again throughout the whole discourse. In fact, he even mentions it in prayer in John chapter 17. Keeping his word is very important to him. Very demanding. You can't neglect that, brethren and sisters. You can't disobey his words. You just can't do it. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. You can't build anything solid if you're ignoring Christ's word. I don't care how successful it looks in the eyes of the world. It'll not be solid. It's in sand. Shifting, moving sand. There's not a real foundation there. If Christ's words are not built on. So they're demanding words. You have to build on them. You have to keep them. And then Christ's word is a discriminating word. It discriminates. Because it says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And he that doesn't love me won't keep my words. It discriminates. It sorts out the true from the false. It sorts out the lovers from Christ, from the haters of Christ. It sorts out the true and sincere lovers of Jesus Christ from those who just pretend and falsely profess to love him. It sorts them out. The word sorts them out. It's easy to be seen. Jesus can see easily who loves him because they're the ones who have his words and who keep them. They love him. And then there's this other crew. The words aren't very important to them. They don't care about hearing them preached. They don't care about hearing them expounded. They don't read them even. And they certainly don't obey them. And they don't believe them. And they don't give them comfort in life or in death. The words mean nothing to them. And they don't love Jesus. It discriminates. And does the word tell who we are? Do we see by our hearts our affection for the words of Jesus? Can we see that we truly love him? It's not enough just to say you love him. How's his word in your heart? He that loves me keeps my words. It's Christ's word that does the discrimination.
It's simple. Oh, we can't sort out the tares from the wheat, because in very similar in external features, the tares look like wheat in many regards, but wheat loves Christ's words and hangs on his words and gathers round his words and follows his words and keeps his, but tares, no drawing to the word. Oh, you can give them entertainment. You can clown around and amuse them. You can make them feel good with psychological methods, even from the pulpit. But it's not the word of Christ that draws them, that they want. Show me a man who loves Christ's words, who longs to hear it expounded, who hungers after it, whose life is molded by it, who cares for it, who regards it, who seeks it, who prays over it, who follows it, who trembles to disobey it, who is comforted by it, to whom that word is all. And I will tell you this about that man. He's a true Christian. And he loves Jesus Christ. There was a time even in Christ's ministry when many so-called disciples left him. And they left him over his words. They didn't like them. They were true words, like all the rest of the words that he'd spoken, and they had to be kept like all the rest. But they didn't like these particular words. And they went away. They went away. The word cut them. Christ's word cut them. And they went away. They went away. And Christ is still being deserted by those who are cut by his word. If you have problems with his words, you don't have him. If you have problems with the words of Jesus and you want to go away from them, you don't have him. You don't have him. You're not like Peter. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life. There's no one else has those words, Lord Jesus. I will hang on all your words, even when I do not understand them. Christ's word is also a desirable word. A desirable word. It's desirable for many reasons, no doubt, but the one that I draw your attention to in the text is the reward that it brings to those who love it and obey it. And that makes it desirable, because to them that keep his words, there's great reward, as the Bible says. And the Lord Jesus draws attention to that in the text. He says there in verse 12, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we'll come to him, and we'll make our abode with him. That makes the word desirable. Here's a desirable thing. Here's something that makes the word such a blessing and prosperous in one's life. What blessing Christ's word brings to us, if we will keep it, if we will love it, if we will obey it, what blessing it will bring to us. We sung, did we not? More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, much fine gold. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant rewarded, or is thy servant kept, and in keeping of them is their great reward. And you see from the text the desirability of it, because Christ's word is like a door in our hearts. And if we set up that door, the door of keeping Christ's words, if we set up that door in our hearts, that door, if we make that door large
And if you make that door open, Christ's word loved and kept and obeyed. Just obey it. If we keep that door wide open, the door of keeping Christ's word, it's a door. And if we keep that door open, there'll come two special visitors. Two special visitors into our life. If a man loved me, he'd keep my words, and we'll come unto him. My Father and I will come unto him. We'll visit him. We'll visit him. Oh, that makes the word of God desirable. If we love it, he comes and visits. I'm at home here, God says. I'm welcome here because my words are loved. My words are reverenced. My words are feared. This is a place I can come. This is a place I can visit. This is like a place where I don't feel a stranger or a foreigner. I'll visit that place. I'll come to him. And my Father will come to him. So that's what Jesus says. That makes a word so desirable. It brings a Father. It brings a Son. And verse 26, it brings a Holy Ghost. I'll send you the Holy Ghost as well. And he'll take those words up out of this cupboard and that cupboard, and he'll show them to you, and he'll teach them to you, and he'll show you all things, meaning the words out of the words that he gives. The Father and the Son and the Comforter, the divine visitors. Oh, the desirability of that word. The best thing that you could do for your heart is to lay Christ's word in it. Did I say visitors? It's not quite the right word, is it? A visitor doesn't stay. A visitor doesn't abide. A visitor doesn't join. Just comes and goes. But Jesus says, a man that loves my word will come and we'll make our abode with him. We'll set up our house in him. That's wonderful. If God's word dwells in us, the Trinity dwells in us. That's what Jesus is saying here. And if God's word doesn't abide in you, you can be sure of this. Neither does the Lord. He's not in your heart if his words aren't in your heart. If they're not important to you, I don't care. You can say I received Jesus all you like. He's not abiding if his words aren't there. Why do we come to church? For God. For God in our lives. To get God into our lives. If that's so, then, brethren and sisters, just come to church for his word. Just come for his word. Because that's all will get God abiding in your life. His word. Desirable word. It's a discoverable word as well. His word is not hidden and concealed and lost. What good is his word if it's only for those he spoke to in those days? These things he spoke being present with them. The apostles heard his word, but where are they today? And he doesn't say, if you apostles love me and keep my words. He says, if a man, any man, whosoever man, if a man love me, he'll keep my word. So these words are going to be discoverable. They're going to be around and about. Even when Jesus goes, he's still going to leave his words. Are the words of Jesus lost? Have they just vibrated in the air molecules and now they've gone into outer space, all the disturbance of the molecules, but there's no words left? No, those words are left. They're left. Because the Holy Spirit, he says the Holy Spirit will bring them to the remembrance. There'll be a New Testament. Because the Holy Spirit will bring them to your remembrance, you apostles. And he'll teach you so that you know the things that you're writing about. And you'll pen them down for the other generations. The Holy Ghost will ensure that my words don't fall away.
will be brought to remembrance. They're discoverable. And we can discover. In fact, we've been studying them, haven't we? We've been here week by week, earnestly desiring to discover them. We haven't missed. We wanted to get the words. We wanted them to drop into our hearts. The Lord's going to ensure that his words are not lost. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Jesus will stand forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, Peter says, is preached unto you. And so they're discoverable. They're here. They're in the Gospels. The words of Christ. Thus they are a dateless word. Up to date. Never ages. Never becomes irrelevant. Christ's words are timeless. They transcend time. They bring us into eternity. Men's words are shadows and fading things, but Christ's words are substance and reality. The only real thing in the universe. The things that came from his lips. You see, the Holy Spirit is still with us. The Comforter. And he's come to make Christ's words relevant to us. Make them always appropriate to us. Always inspired. You know, there's an expression I do not like. The Bible was inspired. The Bible is inspired. Present. It's a living word. It's completely relevant. It's timeless. They're eternal words. The words of the eternal one. They're timeless. And they're up to date. For you and your situation when you face the world and the devil and sin and you go into the valley of the shadow of death. There's a living, timeless word there. So relevant, made alive and powerful by the Holy Ghost to your heart and conscience and life. It's a dateless word. It's to be a dispersed word. If a man love me. Oh, it's to go out into the human race. And every human being is to hear, if a man love me. If a Russian man love me. If a Chinese man love me. If any man love me. They keep my words. It's to go out. His words are to be like the sun, the lights and rays of it, to go out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. Paul said, have they not heard? Yes, they have. Their sound, the sound of his words has went into all the earth. That's what he wants, is to be a dispersed word. And he's given it to his apostles to write it down, to bring it to remembrance, and to go into the nations and disperse it. Disperse it. It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, the Father says to the Son. It's a light thing that, no, my son, you're much more valuable than that. I'll give you to more than the raising up of the tribes of Jacob. I'll give you far more than the conversions of the Jews. I'll give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation to all the earth. And that's where Christ's words are going, into all the earth. And that's why we support missionary. And that's why we support the Trinitarian Bible Society. Because their words are going into all the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's what you're to teach them. Don't teach them your little ideas. Don't teach them your wee denominational values. Don't teach them your wee traditions. Bring them the substance. Bring them the things that I've commanded you. Bring them my words. That's all we're commissioned to do, to bring the words of Christ. We're not going to bring a clown's words. We're not going to bring an entertainer's words. We're not going to bring slick and modern fancy words. We're bringing the words of Christ. That's all we're bringing. Nothing more, nothing less. And we can look the Lord Jesus in the face on the judgment day and be able to say, Lord, as he could say to his Father, I've given them thy word. I've given them thy word. And that's all every minister should ever want to be able to say. I've given them thy word. You know, the Lord will not judge us for what we haven't given them. Oh, men can give this and that and the other. Let them do it. A minister will only be judged on one thing. I've given them your word.